Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast.
Yes, you are.
Yay!
That delay cheer was
that wasn't awkward at all.
No,
so basically, Daniel said, "You got to cheap it up his hands." And like, "Where are you people?"
Yeah, well, you get free swag, right?
Oh,
free
is that basically, that's, we have to pay them to be nice to us.
Yes,
we have to tie a pork chop around our neck to get the dog to play with us too. So anyway,
well,
we are live at the Exponential Conference
in
Orlando, Florida.
Yeah, it's gloomy today.
It is gloomy, but compared to Chicago, it's not gloomy.
Well, it must be like a 60-degree difference right now.
It was, I think it was 1 degree last night.
Yes.
And so I got up this morning. So I flew down here, and I have my blazer that I always wear.
Yes.
And I had a heavy overcoat. And I left my heavy overcoat on the plane. And then I called and I can't find it anymore. So I get to go home tonight after the Exponential Conference and I don't have a coat. So I need somebody who has
so
two coats
bad for you.
To give, and who's also large to give me one. No, I don't think that's going to happen. But anyway, do you feel bad for me?
Yes.
I don't sense the sincerity. I flew down Southwest from Midway Airport for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right,
just
welcome.
For me, right?
Well,
are you going to skip the main session?
Well, I'm
then?
Doing the main session, but I'm here early for you just to be in the presence of your awesomeness.
Yes.
Daniel
right.
M.
Okay.
I love Daniel M. Who does? Daniel M. One cheer for him. Yay! They love you, man. They love you. He's my favorite Canadian. Do you love it when we like make Canadian references on the podcast? People love that because Daniel
especially
was raised
front row Canadians.
Yes,
Canadians here.
Exactly.
We have a ton of Canadians.
There's a lot of Canadians.
There we go.
We're big
there
in Canada. It's like David Hasselhoff is really big in Germany. We're big in Canada. But I got to tell you, have you not noticed that he doesn't know that peace, order, and good government? He doesn't know any Canadian stuff. So I have to help with the Canadian stuff. Sorry.
Well, I don't have as many random facts as you, Ed.
I am filled with useless random facts.
Yes.
Cliff Clavin, as they called me in high school. Anyway.
All right. So we have a question.
We do.
From Keith.
Keith.
So Keith, tell us where you're from and give us your question.
Currently living in Daytona Beach. And we've got a question here for you guys to help unravel for us. And it's this. Planting a church in 2019, I believe, has more difficult hurdles than years past, with an emphasis on personality-driven, or we can say celebrity pastors.
I hate those
largely
people.
Due to social media. So the question is, how would you encourage a new planter to not seek performance-driven ministry and fall prey to the comparison trap?
I feel that he wrote that out beforehand and set us up for this question.
Man, it was so articulate.
It was.
So incredibly articulate.
Good to see you.
That was my wife.
I know who it is. I'm trying to wave, but she didn't wave back. Do you know that they have a podcast? Do you guys listen to their podcast?
Let's
a cheer for their podcast. You listen
there.
A cheer for the M podcast. What's the name of the podcast?
In Between.
In Between.
Yes,
get it?
Like
M, Daniel?
In Between.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so
branding
to the
is not his strength. But anyway, go ahead.
All right, so to the question.
Yeah.
It's an interesting question to think about social media and the rise of social media and what that's done to celebrity pastors, of which whom I'm sitting across from, Mr. Dr. Ed Stetzer. I mean, you recently...
You know,
okay, how many of you have read Christians in the Age of Outrage?
Wow, that's discouraging.
Thank you. Come on, put more hands up to encourage him.
Okay. So much for being
what
a celebrity pastor.
All right, so what
I'm
I love,
like a celebrity pastor without the celebrity.
So. Okay, so Keith, the answer is read that book.
Read that book. I wrote on that.
No, but sincerely.
No. I am a D-list celebrity pastor. So I like know the people who know the people who are the celebrity pastors.
But everyone's connected to you, so you're kind of
like
the Godfather.
It's like Kevin Bacon, 6 degrees of separation.
No, but seriously, the reason I say read the book is because Ed has been able to navigate how to, the disruption of social media, the noise that is on. He's done a really good job of engaging that. So Ed, I'll throw it off to you.
Well, I don't know, I would agree. I mean, it's social media, Twitter's turned ugly lately. I think all of us trying to figure out how to navigate that. Now that people have figured out to create a Twitter swarm with 30, 40 people, and particularly, it's just part people are angry. And so we're in an angry time. Okay, so a couple things. I actually, to all kidding aside, love the question because I do think, and years ago, I remember when Chuck Swindoll decided to start a church in Texas, Frisco, Texas, I think it is. And I remember, and now mind you, I have subsequently decided not to make critical comments about Chuck Swindoll because he's kind of a big deal. He has many leather-bound books and his office smells of rich mahogany. But I thought to myself, well, you know, I mean, is that really church starting when you're Chuck Swindoll and you start a church and then 1,000 people come? But then what happened is social media enabled people who are not Chuck Swindoll to do the same thing. And you are right. So here's what I would say. I think, particularly with social media, if you're starting a church and you have a strong social media presence as a Christian celebrity, A, B, C, D, whatever list, then ultimately you're going to attract Christians who want to be a part of that. Now, I don't think that's ultimately what we're going after. As a matter of fact, yeah, so I have a lot of connections on social media, sure. But at the end of the day, if I were to plant a church today, matter of fact, if I were to pastor full-time a church today, my primary focus, I think I would have to do drastic changes because mainly who I talk to is people like you. So I'm making inside jokes about evangelicalism that people only get if they have this, you know, insider's knowledge or track. I mean, I saw a guy a little while ago comes up to me, introduced him as Josh Harris, and I said, I really liked your book on dating. I mean, who gets that except a narrow slice of evangelicalism? And so, you know, so for me, I do think so. So there's a guy who's now actually a social activist, but he actually was the first person I saw that started a church effectively using social media to sort of mobilize people. And then he went on, you know, he's a writer and sometimes controversial for that matter. But I think that there's a way to do that that is not relying on insider Christian celebrity, that instead mobilizes a community, uses social media for good. And then the end result is, having used social media for good, is that that can rally people. But I do think you're right. I mean, so all this, I mean, this celebrity-driven culture, if we haven't yet seen the detrimental effects of it, we have not been paying attention the last couple of years. Now, I have to be careful because, you know, I swim in some of that water. But the reality is that's not real-world ministry. And, you know, even going around here, you know, this is a lot, you know, church planners are a lot of my audience. Even going around here, when I'm preaching at Moody Church, I preach there Sunday, that's not the same thing. These are people, I got a complaint letter Sunday. You know, I get complaint letters a lot. I did say that Jesus Is Just All Right With Me by the Doobie Brothers was the dumbest song ever. And somebody took offense at that because I guess DC Talk redid it. And so that makes it okay, but it's a dumb song. But the point is that there are people who are mad. There are people who are hurting. There are people who just want to know the word of God. And you got to get out of that. So I think there's a danger if you live in that. You know, my wife hates social media. If you look at Donna Stetzer, she has an account. She says, I only am on social media to follow my husband. Do not follow me. He tweets too much anyway. So at Donna Stetzer, you can find it. But here's the deal. Here's what my wife says. Now, again, if you're listening to this, in a sense, you're listening on a podcast. So that's a social kind of form.
Yeah.
But she says that Twitter is like, Being a big deal on Twitter is like being a dungeon master on Dungeons and Dragons, right? You're just a big deal in a fake world of geeks. And so I'm just saying, she's humbling me with that. But the point is that stuff just isn't real. You know, this morning I got a text that a friend of mine's son was murdered yesterday. And you'll hear about this. Will be news. You'll hear about this he's a Christian leader. That's real world ministry. And nobody gives a flip about clever social media when they're in the midst of a heartbreaking situation. So for me, and I didn't mean to go real, you know, we're kind of a live audience here. So I didn't really go real somber. Just is on my mind because I care deeply for him. But the thing that we've got not to miss is that at the end of the day, ministry doesn't take place with electrons and avatars. It takes place with feet and faces. And if you're going to plant a church, it's a whole different thing.
Yeah. So to add on to that, social media is really a double-edged sword, right? So one of the things for us is, you know, you think, okay, how do I reach as many people as possible, right? Because for our churches, whether you're a church planner or not, we want to reach our cities. And the last thing that we would want to do is just, you know, bring on Christians from other churches. And, you know, we want to reach the D church. We want to reach the unchurched. And where do they live? Part of it is we need to have multiple touch points. The thing about social media, though, is the broader you go, the less effective it's going to be.
What do you mean? So, can you give me more on that?
Yeah, so when you think about it, okay, so about 30% of Americans, and this is just some American research.
Are you making this up, or is this real data?
No, it's real data.
Real data. Because you make up data a lot on the program, and I usually don't correct you, but I got a live audience right now.
Okay, the reason I know these numbers
tell me why.
Is because they're in my new book that I'm writing right now.
Five silver bullets?
No, it's not.
It's the sixth silver bullet?
Shut up, man. Okay. Like, just stop talking about that. Okay, so when you think about it, about 30% of Americans are on Twitter, right? About 40 to 50 are on Instagram, and about 70 are on Facebook. Okay. Now that's just that broad. But when you look at age-wise, 90%+ of millennials and Gen Z are on, well, those who've taken, among those who are surveyed, are on Instagram. So when you think about it, how do you best leverage social media? Right, for you, you think, okay, well, you know, if I want to reach my city, maybe I should grow my account. Maybe I should have a big impact on social media. And if that's your only strategy, it's going to be, you know, I agree with Ed. I mean, it doesn't just live there. You need to have real ministry, real interaction, and, you know, there. However, if you want to reach the de-churched and the unchurched, right, you know how people used to say people are going to visit your website before they visit your church? Well, these days with millennials and Gen Z, they're going to visit your Instagram before they visit your website. And when they visit your Instagram, right? And here's the fascinating thing about Instagram. Is it just pictures of, like, what is your Instagram church's Instagram feed communicate? Does it communicate, hey, look at me, I'm the pastor. It's 30-second clips of me preaching, glamour shots, quote shots. Right? Is that what it is? Because sometimes that is what it is. Is it program? Like here are advertisements for ministry that we're doing in the city. I mean, what is that communicating? To the point where, hey, do an audit on all of your social media accounts. Do it for your team as well. And say, what does it look like for us to redeem this? Knowing that this is not a solo strategy, but if we want to reach the de-churched and the unchurched, we do need to be there as well.
I think you're right on. I think the danger that he mentioned is worth noting.
Yes.
Is that there is a draw from social media that actually can draw you out of the mission and ministry where God has placed you. And so I think, and you're kind of sitting around how clever to be, et cetera, et cetera. And again, it's kind of one of those things, and I recognize that I'm in some ways saying, do what I say. Not what I do, because this is part of my job. But part of my job is to be on social media. That's an ancillary part. That's a side issue for most church planners and pastors, unless that's part ultimately of their strategy. So. But I would not miss the root of your question. Is celebrity comes calling, and it could be social media, it could be whatever. And when celebrity comes calling, often ministry faithfulness can get lost if that becomes your primary focus. So I think it's a great question, real helpful for us to kind of think through and how to respond to it. So good.
Awesome. Thanks again for listening into the podcast. If you haven't yet done so, you can text the word new churches, that's one word, to the phone number 888-111 for 5 free books on church multiplication. Thank you, live audience, for being with us. How about a last cheer for us?
Yeah. Did you say like a last cheer for us?
For the podcast.
3 cheers for us.
No.
The How royal, about a live cheer? Let's give yourselves a round of applause.
Pat yourself on the back.
I love it when people say that. Give yourselves a round of applause. One more. Good. Ready? Yay. All right. That's enough.
That was horrible.
That was really bad. Yeah, I'm sorry.